First reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without a blemish or spot. He was foreknown from before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Continue with the hymn of the day, number 476. For the reading of the gospel. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen visions of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. The risen Christ comes up alongside of two disciples and they can't see him. They're talking about things in such a way that the risen Christ asks them, "What is this conversation?" The risen Christ didn't recognize their discussion. And the text gets deadly ironic. "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know these things?" said to the man who 3 days ago hung on a cross in the middle of these things. The man that they couldn't see. Jesus prods them again, "What things?" And here we get to what is making them sad. The stuff about Jesus, the prophet, great in word and deed. We thought he would redeem Israel. They wanted Jesus, the wonder worker. As long as the bread kept coming and people were healed, they were present. But at the first safe moment after it stops, Cleopas and his companion are on the road. They had even heard the report from the women at the empty tomb and the angel, but him they did not see. They wanted Jesus, the justifier of what we want. We want the Jewish kingdom. We want the redemption of Israel, the removal of the Romans and their puppets, and our installation. Instead, the puppets, the chief priests and the rulers, delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So how does Jesus address this lack of sight? We're going to give a real close reading to the next few verses. There are two primary actions that Luke tells us, but each is preceded by a little more subtle action. And the first subtle action doesn't sound subtle at all. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Jesus confronts these two disciples along the way. The core of their problem is personal expectations that have not been met. Jesus was no longer doing the mighty deeds that they had grown to expect. And he had not brought them to power kicking out the Romans. To such wish fulfillment and navel gazing, Jesus says, "Oh, foolish ones." Occasionally, a similar lament would escape Jesus earlier. Like when he came down from the transfiguration and confronted with disciples' inability to function without him for a short while. Oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? Jesus just doesn't mince words. Oh, foolish ones. Oh, faithless and twisted generation. The first part of the gospel is always the recognition of our state, a call to repentance. And Jesus doesn't mince his words. But Jesus' calls to repentance are subtle in that Jesus includes the place to go or the place of the misunderstanding. On the Emmaus Road, believe all that the prophets have spoken. According to the scriptures, was not the passion necessary? And wouldn't the glory come after it? Jesus' call to repentance is a rebuke of the sin and a call to believe and to discern the truth. You should be able to see this, these things. Me. You should be able to see the glory of the risen Christ in your midst because the prophets, the scriptures, told you everything. You can imagine the travelers on that road. After being called fools and being told that they don't know their scripture, they might ask this strange man to go ahead a little or to fall a few paces back. That's not what they do. Instead, taking the not so subtle invitation, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That is Jesus' first primary action. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus holds a master class on the word. The dictionary defines Luke's specific word as to explain on a more extensive and formal level the meaning of something. Jesus, along the way, in his first appearance, according to Luke, teaches the word. And he teaches it as something that he expects his disciples to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. The Father has cared enough about us to give us his word. Jesus, the word, and everything Moses and all the prophets said about it. But that isn't where the disciples see the risen Christ. They drew near to the village which they were going, but Jesus acted as if he was going farther. That's the second subtle action of Jesus. What is the response to the word? Is it a rejection? See ya, glad to be rid of that nut. Is it a kind of acceptance? Ah, we'd love for you to stay, but you've given us some things to think about. An acceptance that soon turns into, now what did he say? Or is it an opening of the door? Is it abide with us? Like the seed planted on different soils, there are different responses, and we don't control them. These disciples, Cleopas and friend, urged him strongly, stay with us, abide with us. So he went to stay with them. Our Lord does not deny any who receive him. And that leads to the second primary action. When he was at the table, he took bread. Giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The word finds real expression in this sacrament, in this meal that we share. In this meal, we truly see, we truly recognize the risen Christ. We see Christ in the breaking of the bread, and we see the body of Christ gathered around this means of grace. The gospel, sight, the recognition of the risen Christ comes by word and sacrament. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures? And they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Our culture and our world have some very specific problems similar to Cleopas and his friends. We want Jesus to justify what we want. We want salvation to be universal and easy. We thought he was going to redeem Israel. Instead of thinking of Israel as only physical Israel, we think of it as everyone. The opposite ditch, but just as automatic for those who are in Israel. And we do that because we want our justification without our sanctification. And without the cross. We don't really want to walk the way. Because walking in the way means turning around and walking towards Jerusalem, even when it's dark and we just got home. They rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. To return to the rest of the disciples who say, the Lord has risen indeed. We want the physical bread to keep coming, but we don't keep a Sabbath. We want the Savior to work the miracle of faith without staying awake, without watching, or buying the oil, or preparing. A Mrs. Janice Krause wrote about a very similar experience that I had recently. I'm not sure where the pages on my desk came from. I know that Helen is always pulling these things out, but I found on my desk a list of the members of the Thursday Bible study from some 20 years ago. There were a full typed page of over 40 names for a midweek Bible study. Mrs. Krause found a picture of her grandfather's men's Bible study, quoting, about 25 men, a cross-section of all strata of small-town society, all in suits and ties. We might not worry about the suits and ties, but 25 men? Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Is it not necessary to receive the word? The good news is that Jesus continues to walk with us and offer himself in word and sacrament. Jesus continues to walk with saints who are also sinners and call them to repentance and grant them forgiveness. That's the very purpose of this gathering, and any gathering where two or three are there with the word to receive Christ in word and sacrament and to return to Jerusalem with those who have seen the Lord. We are pilgrims on the road to a better country, a Jerusalem not built with human hands. The way is long. Desire the bread given daily for this journey. Read, mark, learn. Take and eat. Amen.